Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you're joining us for the first time or you've been listening every day for 10 years, we just want to say welcome, we love you, and we pray for you every day. So we're continuing with this series called Daring Faith, The Key to Miracles. And in this series, you're learning how to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you courage to impact the world around you. And if you're like me, you'd really like to be more bold and have more courage to share your faith in Christ. And now here's Rick with the final part of a message called Daring to Plant in Faith.
You know, a couple years ago, PBS was doing a series of family histories of famous Americans. They did Oprah Winfrey and just a bunch of different people. And the guy who did it came and said, "We want to do a pastor. We want to do you." I said, "Fine." So they actually took a swab of DNA out of my mouth, and they went back and traced my family tree back 1,000 years. I'm a king, and you should all bow down to me. I'm just teasing, just teasing. But they found all kinds of interesting things and did a TV special on my family tree. One of the things I discovered is the amount of godly ancestors I had in my family. I am reaping the benefit and blessings from grandparents and great-grandparents who were praying for their great-grandchildren. I'm reaping that in my life because I had some people, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, who loved God and were praying for their future generations. Now, I know many of you say, "Well, you know, I didn't have a family like that. I'd like to have a legacy like that." Well, you start it. You start it. Start it with your family name, that you determine that the future generations of your family name are going to be blessed because you're going to plant seeds of prayer and love and godliness and generosity and faith and all these other things. And you and the people that you come out of your family tree have a blessing in heritage. You're not the only sower. Jesus said this, John 4:38, "I sent you to reap where you did not plant, and others had already done work before you, and you will now gather the harvest." I would say to you that if you have children at home during this time, involve them in the process of your generosity discussion. Talk about this, what you're going to sow and what you're going to reap with them. I remember during the time to build, sitting around with my three kids and praying about what we were going to give, and my two boys, Matthew and Josh, deciding that they were going to give their baseball card collections. And so they had quite a collection, and we put it all together, and we took it out, and we sold it, and I think their contribution for this building was $500 because of their commitment. That is leaving a legacy. That is leaving a heritage. Are you leaving a legacy of generosity or stinginess? Are you leaving a legacy of faith or doubt or fear? I'm not the only one sowing. Number six, I always reap in a different season than I sow. I always reap in a different season than I sow. You know, plants take time to grow. There's no instant maturity. And so you don't plant today and this afternoon get the fruit. There's always a delay. And that's true when you plant anything in life. There's no such thing as instant success. There's instant fame, but no instant success. It takes time to gather wisdom. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time for everything. There's a season for every activity under heaven. There is a time to plant, which is now, and there's a time to harvest. There's a time to scatter, there's a time to gather. In other words, there's a time to sow and a time to reap. Fruit ripens gradually. And by the way, it doesn't all ripen at the same time. Do you know the difference between a vine-ripened tomato and a gassed tomato? Which one tastes better? Yeah, the vine, yeah. You miss the flavor when you get in a hurry. You just need to understand, when you plant a seed, you don't get to harvest immediately. There's always a delay. And the better grapefruit takes 2 years. It takes 2 years before you get a grapefruit. I got a grapefruit tree in my yard. And some things take time, but they're worth it. Okay, number seven. I must be patient and not give up. As you're waiting on the seed you are planted, you planted, don't become impatient. I must be patient and not give up, because you reap in a season that's different than the one you sowed in. Galatians 6:9 tells us this. Let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. I have to be patient. Number 8. This is a big one. I will always reap more than I sow. Now, again, this can work for you or against you. I will always reap more than I sow. This is the law of multiplication. A couple weeks ago, I planted giant sunflowers in my backyard. Took a little sunflower seed from the giant sunflowers grow to about 12 feet tall, and the flowers about almost a foot wide. They're enormous. One little seed doesn't give me back one little seed. One little seed will give me back 1,000 seeds. You always reap more than you sow. In the parable of the soils, Jesus said it this way, Mark 4:8. Some seed fell on good soil, and it came up, and it grew, and it produced a crop. Multiplying, circle that, 30, 60, and even 100 times. Now again, this will work for you or against you. It depends on what kind of seed you're planting. You plant gossip, you're going to get a lot more gossip about you. You plant criticism, you're going to get a lot more criticism about you. There is an exponential potential in every seed. As that old line, the old cliche says, anybody can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. Because one seed can produce an awful lot of apples. I'll always reap more than I sow. Number 9, the 9th law of sowing and harvesting. I can increase my harvest by planting more seed. I can always increase my harvest by planting more seed. And this is the law of proportion, that we always reap in proportion to what we sow. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. We actually looked at this verse last week, and it says this. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each one should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly, not under pressure, or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, what that verse says is this. You get to choose how big the harvest is in your life. You get to choose how much God blesses your life. Don't blame anybody else. You get to choose how much God is blessing your life. You sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. You sow generously, you will reap generously. That is the word of God. That is the law of the universe, and it applies in every single area of your life. It works. The law of generosity works for anybody who follows it. It works for non-believers, because God is just like gravity works for believers and non-believers. It's just a law of the universe. Proverbs 11:24. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Number 10, the 10th law of the harvest. The more seed I plant, this is amazing. The more seed I plant, the more God will give me. Hello? The more seed I plant, the more I give away, the more God gives me. God is looking for givers to bless. And he looks down. He doesn't look for stingy people to bless. He looks for givers to bless. And he looks down and goes, is there anybody on earth like me who wants to be generous, who wants to be unselfish, who wants to think of other people? Is there anybody who trusts me? He's always looking for people to use. And he blesses people who are generous. My life is a testimony of this verse. You know my story on giving. That the more seed I plant, the more God will give me. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 9:10. For God, who supplies seed to the farmer and breaks and bread to eat, will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow so that you can give even more and more, give away more and more fruit from your harvest. That verse is a promise about being generous with money. It's specifically about money. That's what God says. Number 11, the 11th law of harvesting. I plant by faith, not by my feelings. It's a very important point. I plant by faith, not by my feelings. People aren't generous because they don't feel like being generous. And so they go by their feeling. No, you plant by faith, not by feeling. When the farmer gets up in the morning, do you think every farmer expects to feel good about going and working on his farm? No, it's just hard work. If a farmer only worked his crops when he felt like it, not much would get done. He doesn't want to get up early. He doesn't want to go, you know, harvest and plant and weed and do all those things. No, he does what he doesn't feel like doing, and he's planting when he doesn't feel like it. You don't go by your feelings. You go by your faith. Let me give you a little confession. Confession's good for the soul. I don't always feel like being nice to people. I hate to admit that. Don't think less of me. But I don't always feel like being nice to people. Sometimes I want to be cranky. Sometimes I just want to say, leave me alone. You know, I don't always feel like being kind. I don't always feel like being generous. I don't always feel like giving people hope. And this is a serious one. I don't always feel like preaching. But I don't happen to live by my feelings. I happen to live by faith. Sometimes I plant when I'm tired. Sometimes I plant when I'm distracted. Sometimes I plant when I'm stressed out. Sometimes I plant when I'm in deep, deep grief. And I move ahead in faith in spite of my feelings, expecting God to ask, act. I told you, I didn't want to be here for Easter. It was the second anniversary of Matthew's death, my youngest son. I really didn't want to be here. I said, what I'd rather do is just celebrate the resurrection at home with my wife, my Lord, my kids, and just get through the second anniversary. But all that week, because I was crying all week, I was in tears most of that week. And I claimed Psalm 125 as a promise, the next verse. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seeds, but they sing as they return with the harvest. And you know what? As I was planting seeds in 14 Easter services, God gave a harvest of 2,604 people came to Christ. That's a deal. That's a deal. Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. And all those people are going to be in heaven because I didn't do what I felt like doing. I did what I did by faith. And sometimes God's going to call you to make a sacrifice. Money, yes, but also time and also talent. And maybe your life. And God's going to call you to sacrifice. And you're going to go, I don't feel like it. And you will miss the blessing that God wants to do in using you. I plant by faith, not by my feelings. And finally, number 12, the 12th point is this. The best time to plant is now. The best time to plant is now. You don't wait for a better time. The sooner, the better. People say, you know, when I retire, I'm going to get serious about God. Nah, then you'll be worthless. Okay? You won't have any energy to do anything. Ecclesiastes 11:4. Those who wait for perfect weather will never plant seeds. And those who look at every cloud will never reap a harvest. Perfection paralyzes potential. One of these days is none of these days. Let's bow our heads. Okay. You gonna do anything about this message? If you don't like the kind of life you are reaping, change the way you're planting. Whatever you need more of, you need to give away. When you have a need, in any area, plant a seed. Would you pray this prayer? Dear God, thank you for creating the universe on universal laws. You have said that no one makes a fool of you, that whatever a person plants, he will harvest. And Lord, I realize I can use that negatively or positively in my life. Help me to practice these 12 laws of the harvest. Help me to plant good seed in abundance in every area of my life. Help me to be patient and realize that I reap in a season different than the one I sow in, but that it is inevitable that the fruit will come. Help me to remember that I always reap more than I sow, and that I can increase my harvest by planting more seed, and that the more seed I plant, the more you will give me. Help me to not live by my feelings, but to live by faith. Help me to realize the best time to plant is right now. If you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ, say, Jesus Christ, come into my life and make me the person you want me to be. I want to know you and love you and trust you. Father, as each of us face the kind of lives we're going to live, help us to realize that we are leaving a legacy for future generations, that our everything we do has an impact on people we don't even know. And just as we've been influenced by good and bad in our past, that our lives will make it harder or easier for somebody else. I thank you for the people who've sacrificed and lived in faith and planted in this church for 35 years. I thank you for those who will have the faith to do so in the future. I thank you in advance for the answer to all of our prayers, and I thank you in advance for the achievement of all of the goals that we've set in face. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
What a fantastic message from Pastor Rick. You know, Daily Hope is changing lives every day. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to share with you Marty's story. Marty had been abused by his stepfather, who was actually a minister. But thanks in part to Daily Hope, God helped him renew his relationship with God. He wrote this, Dear Pastor Rick, it's through your teachings on the Father's Word that I have renewed and rebuilt my faith. I left the church, and I turned my back on God because of the abuse of my stepfather, a minister. I reasoned in my youth, how could a loving God allow this to happen to me and my family? I learned from you that God's gift of free will is one of the most powerful gifts we've received from Him, and how we use that gift is up to us. I needed to be shown the reality of abuse that my family suffered at my stepfather's hand was not God's will. It was my stepfather's exercising his free will. Now, a fact that I didn't understand as a boy of 10, but you've taught me that I needed to forgive him, and I have now done that. Because of your teachings on God's word, I've been rebuilding and renewing my faith over the last 3 years. At the urging of a close friend, I started listening to you on Daily Hope. From your teaching, I started to pray every night. And then I added prayers every morning and thanksgiving to the Father. I knew that the biggest challenge in my journey of faith would be returning to the body of Christ, the church. But through your teaching, I was able to overcome my fear, understood the basis of it, forgive my stepfather, and move forward. I've read 3 of your books, including Purpose Driven Life, and they've all helped me in my journey. I'm overjoyed beyond words to have found a great church. I'm in a good Bible study with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I've become active in some other small groups in support of our church and of our Father.
I now know greater peace than I've ever known since I was a young boy. So thank you, Pastor Rick. Thank you for all you do in ministry through Daily Hope. Marty. Well, Marty, thank you so much for sharing this painful but very moving story. I'm so glad to hear that you've been able to forgive your stepfather, to let it go. He doesn't deserve it, but none of us deserve forgiveness. We do it for our sake, not for their sake, and because Jesus said it's the right thing to do. You know, the person who won't forgive is burning the bridge that they have to walk across to get into heaven. I'm going to need forgiveness the rest of my life, and so will you. Now, I'm grateful that you've learned to rediscover your faith and learn to come back to the church that has become a support for you. You just are putting a big smile on my face today. God bless you, Marty.
If you'd like to bless Pastor Rick by letting him know how much this broadcast has helped you, please send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Please join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.